Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Joanna Fortune joins us once again for our parenting slot. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Here's your first question. My 18-month-old is a fabulously happy little girl, but she's no patience, and I'm worried that it will lead to anxiety in years to come. If things don't go her way, pages of a book don't stay down when she's turning the page, cups fall over when she's trying to build them, or she can't fit shapes into their proper slots, she gets so frustrated she will throw the toy away, or on one occasion she has ripped pages from a book. This is out of character from her normal behaviour. The toys are not out of her age group. How can I calm her in these situations and reassure her that she's doing great by simply trying? My fear is that this behaviour will result in serious anxiety when she gets older. Any advice would be great.
Oh, I mean, an 18-month-old who's frustrated is simply an 18-month-old. It is so developmentally normal for them to do this. So at this age and stage of development, that's what I'm looking at, because they don't have the verbal language yet to say, it's really frustrating when these cups won't stack up the way I want, or it's really upsetting me that I can't get the pages to stay exactly as I want them. So instead, they do it by showing you that they are frustrated and upset because they can't express it any other way.
Yeah.
So the behaviour is her language. So what she really needs at this stage, while she's still acquiring language, don't forget the left brain where language is really going to develop, is really in its main phase of development between 18 and 24 months old. So she's bang on schedule, really. I would be saying to mum and dad here that what she needs is for you to make sense of the emotional experience for her, so that when she throws the blocks across the room or the thing that the shapes go into and she throws it across the room because it hasn't gone her way, that you simply take her by the hand and bring her over, pick up what she's thrown and say, it was really hard when you couldn't get the shapes to fit in here and you got so mad you threw it all the way across the room.
Mm.
And you can say something like, we don't throw our toys if you want, but I don't think it's necessary at that age. Bring it back and help her gain mastery over the task by supporting her in pushing the right shape through the right hole and say, oh, you did it, and praise all that effort. But be prepared to do that or some variation of that over and over and over again, because this is going to keep repeating itself, you know, because she's 18 months old. So I wouldn't worry about it leading to serious anxiety as she gets older, because it is such a normal thing to do.
Yeah, it is. It's just normal frustration.
Oh, absolutely.
Really. Yeah. My nearly 9-year-old moved into second class in 2017. Unfortunately, when the school split up the boys, his new class didn't include any of his pals. All through 2017, 2018, he didn't want to ask anyone from the new class on a play date. He said, they're them and I'm me. We invited a small number to his birthday party and that went fine, but it was really his old pals that he was happy with. I had hoped in third class he would be more comfortable, but this past weekend when I suggested a play date with one of the boys from his class, he replied that he is on the edge and outside his class. He likes the school, is happy to go every day, but he clearly doesn't feel he fits in with his classmates. He even says to me that the boys are all friended up already. I am really worried that he will gradually become more isolated, and I know this is affecting his confidence and his enjoyment of yard time. He has decided he is not friend to people, but I don't know if it's because he's been shown that or his confidence is so low that he feels that. He still sees his old pals for the odd play date and he worships that time. Is there anything I could do besides persevere on play dates? I do believe he doesn't know how to act easily with the boys that are his age, making jokes that aren't jokes, clowning around. He doesn't see the point. What can I do to encourage him socially? It's a real worry for us now.
I can really feel the worry from this as you're reading through it, you know, and I think what jumps out at me is this is a 9-year-old boy who actually has a really good command of his emotional language. He's really able to convey clearly what's going on for him and the struggle he's having. So that's quite emotionally mature for a 9-year-old boy. So that's a strength that you have, because you're not wondering about this. You know how he's thinking and feeling about it. So while that might not seem like a strength, I think it really is. It gives you a starting point. I understand where your son is coming from, because actually by the age of 8, typically children have settled into their friendship clusters. And with some mild to moderate shifts and change over the next few years, those are essentially the friendship groups they will have through primary school. So the moving classes around, which I know a number of schools do, and I'm sure there are various reasons for it, but it can be very, very difficult at that first class when this would have happened stage, because you're already attached to your friends that you have. So I'm wondering if it, because this now isn't a new experience for him, you're dealing with your second academic year of this kind of a response and reaction from him. So I'm wondering, have you spoken to the school, to the teacher? And if not, could you? Is there a possibility of him being reassigned to the other class where his friends are without causing too much upset to the school system?
Yes.
You know, if that's a sort of, that seems to me like a small change that could actually make a really big difference for this little boy.
Because, yeah, it says that the school split up the boys.
Yeah. It seems like sometimes when they move from junior school to what they consider senior school, they all get mixed up into different groups.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not sure if there's any rhyme or reason to that, but I'm sure they didn't consciously separate him from all the friends he had. So it might be something you can address with the school, and given how long it's going on. Normally, if this was only after happening, I'd be saying give this some more time and see how he settles. But actually, this is a prolonged period of time for him to be dealing with this level of distress. The other thing in terms of what you can do to encourage him socially, I find myself wondering, what about him outside of school? What kind of activities is he involved in? Is he involved in something like scouts, adventurers? Is he involved in a sports team? Is there something else he's doing where he is interacting with his peers? And it might not be the boys in school, but he's still socializing with kids his own age outside of school. I just think when I read this, that this little boy is struggling with the transition that was put upon him.
Yeah.
That he had to separate from his friends. It wasn't in any way a choice. It happened to him.
Mm.
And he really isn't adjusting. He's telling you clearly, I feel like I'm on the edge and outside of the class. They're them, I'm me. They have their groups. I'm not in the group. So for me, if it was me, I'd be going down to the school and saying, actually, we need to look at this together and come up with an alternative solution.
He sounds, just based on those quotes, he sounds very stoic about that.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that he's already done a year feeling like this is testimony to that. Like, this is a little boy who's very emotionally mature, and that's a strength, but at the same time, that needs to be listened to.
Yeah. My teenage daughter, who's 15, has started hanging out with a group of older lads, and I'm very, very worried. Her friend is going out with one of them, and despite the fact that my daughter knows she is not allowed to date until she's 16, she seems to be defying me, as I have heard she is involved with one of them. The neighbour told me the other day she saw them down in a field near our estate, and the lads were all drinking and smoking. It would seem that my daughter wasn't doing any of that, but the neighbour did say that she saw my daughter kissing one of the lads. They're all in and around 18 or 19, so God knows what they are doing hanging around such young girls in the first place. I grounded her as soon as I heard, but I can't keep her in forever. I just want to get through to her that this is bad news and these lads don't have her best interests at heart. What can I do to keep her away from them?
I mean, gosh, they're very little, is in all honesty, because you have to walk a fine line with this one, that yes, you have to uphold parental boundaries and keep her safe. But at the same time, if you keep putting these, they're a bad crowd, this is bad, you're making bad choices, you're actually inadvertently going to make them even more intriguing and more interesting, because developmentally where she's at is to identify as different to her parents, different to her family, and experiment with new friends and tastes like that. So I you know, and again, I don't want to minimize this, because I would understand the worry, and there is a couple of worries in it. I would be saying, don't talk about them being bad, but talk about her needing to stay safe.
Yes,
so just flip the language on it. And I think that small change could really impact. I think you've got to as well talk to her and talk with her, not just at her, about what you understand as the expectations of older boys. They're men, really. They're 18 and 19. They're not boys. What kind of expectations they can have in a relationship, and how that might not align with your daughter's expectations, or what she might not be ready for. And reflect some of the legal issues to her, that she is a minor.
Yeah.
And I think think that that could be the place where you can go heavy on it. Rather than say they're bad, go, this isn't safe for any of you. You're a minor, they're compromised, you're compromised, and this is a serious situation, potentially. I think, though, you do want to talk to her about how you trust her to come and talk to you about this, and talk to her about these things that state that you don't like she's hanging around with older boys who are drinking and smoking and it causes you worry. But rather than punishing her, you've got to bring her in on what's worrying you.
Yeah. The because I just my own experience with teenagers, this kind of thing is generally looked down upon. If older boys get out with younger girls, it
absolutely
seems being a bit pervy.
Absolutely.
Even among teenagers.
Yeah, and I mean, I share the parents' concern. What are they doing hanging out with young teenage girls? I mean, it certainly raises questions. But I don't know how possible this is, but if her friend is going out with one of these boys, is it possible to link in with the parents of that friend? And so that you're all coming at it off the same hymn sheet. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You could suggest that they come to your home so that you can meet who she's hanging out with.
Mm-hmm.
You could, you know,
yeah,
if only
not?
To
if
keep
it's all
it
cool,
open.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because if there's nothing kind of untoward, why wouldn't they come around and meet you? If only to reassure you we're not bad people.
Mm.
But I think we've got to put it in context that for your teenage daughter, this is going to seem really exciting. It's going to seem like something that's really grown up for her. These older guys are showing interest. She's going to feel very mature. We know it to be pseudo-mature, that it's not real, but that's not what it is to her. It's very real to her. So anything you say about this is bad, don't do it, you're grounded, stop, you're not going out, I said no dating, all of those kind of parental directions are just going to be dismissed by her because it is so exciting. It's normal for her to experiment like this, but it's about holding the parental boundaries with the lines of communication staying open.
Yeah. Okay, we do have to take a break after that. God, this is a hell of a question. Will I damage my kids if I leave their mother?
Moncrief on News Talk,
sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
53106 is our text number that will cost you 30 cent. Joanna is still with us. Joanna Fortune for the parenting slot. Next question is this. I want to separate from my wife, but I still want to keep the relationship with our children intact and want to minimise the damage caused by me leaving. Things between us have been bad for a while and counselling didn't help us. There is no one else. There's no abuse or anything like that. We just don't love each other anymore. How can I tell the kids that I am leaving? Am I going to damage them emotionally forever?
Oh, it's so tough. I mean, this is, this is a tough one. Because I just think it's always sad and difficult when a relationship ends. You know, no matter what has happened or not happened or gone on, there is a sadness in the demise of a relationship. And I think even more so when there are children involved. Now, I do, before I get on to the children, I as you're going through this and the focus is so naturally, I have to keep the kids in mind the kids. You've got to mind yourself as well. So, to the person writing this, be sure that you have support for yourself around this process too. And not just the process of separation, but the process of supporting your kids through it. So that someone's minding you so you can mind them is basically what I'm saying. I think ideally, if you and your partner can do so amicably, it's going to be best for the children. And I think in this letter, to me, that sounds like a possibility rather than me being idealistic, because they're saying we just don't love each other anymore. There hasn't been a thing.
Yes.
This is just the relationship has run its course. So I think that actually is something, if you're presenting as a united front on this, that's immensely helpful in any situation like this. I don't know how old the children are from this letter, but if possible, I would always say as parents, you guys sort it out first. You hammer out all of the details, who's going to live where, what are the access and custody arrangements going to be, what, if any, is the level of disruption to the children, how are you going to split up things like birthdays and family celebration events, like Christmas, things like that, that children are going to ask about.
Yeah.
Have all of that done before you go to the children, and then you're presenting them with a solution rather than a problem. And I think that's actually really helpful. You want to sit together, deliver the same message in the same way, be clear, calm and honest. Don't dress this up, but don't over detail it either, depending on their age. Assure them that you both love them, but you've realized that you're better living apart. so that you separate it out, that it's nothing to do with them, and that you want to be the best parents that you can possibly be. And here's the arrangement you've come up with. Children like to know in general that their lives will be minimally disrupted. They want to know, for the most part, everything is going to stay the same for me and I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
And that's the reassurance they're going to look for. That being said, depending on their age, it's very normal and even healthy that they have their own emotional response to what you're going to say. And all you can do to that is respond with empathy and acceptance and understanding and give them time. You and your partner have had time to get your heads around what's happening. This will be news to the children. Perhaps.
Then again, perhaps, the same, the kids usually have, get the vibe.
They have an inkling. Yeah. Or they may have heard things or seen things. So it may not be. So this is really about making sure that you've your ducks in a row before you sit down. Now, that being said, children are brilliant at hitting you with the one question that you didn't talk about.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there and go, oh, that's not on the list of things. And don't be afraid to go, oh, that's a really good question. We haven't actually thought about that yet. So let us think about it. And we'll come back to you with an answer on that one.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to buy yourself time instead of giving a knee-jerk response.
The last line, though, am I going to damage them emotionally forever?
No.
If they can do all those things.
No, they're not. Look, to be honest, children really want, available, calm, clear, consistent, loving parents. Sometimes that's going to be parents living together, and sometimes that's going to be parents living apart but co-parenting in a healthy way.
Mm.
If you can co-parent amicably, respect, and show respect for each other and them, you are not going to damage them emotionally forever. It's not like that. To be honest, if you were staying together in a relationship that was toxic for the sake of children, that could be seen as being more damaging than making a decision that's going to make life easier for everybody.
Mm.
So it's difficult. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, listen, they'll be fine. There won't be any reaction. I think there will be a reaction, but I think if you approach it calmly and honestly, you will be able to deal with it.
Yeah. My 14, nearly 15-year-old son and I are at loggerheads for the past few weeks. This is mainly down to me putting the foot down with regard to her being allowed her phone upstairs. She had it last year, but I realised she was upstairs for hours, but on her phone for lots of the time. She's being so rude and condescending to me with regard to this decision, and whenever we talk for more than a minute or two, we end up arguing. The only thing she is interested in is her phone, Snapchat and Instagram. Her every waking hour is about her phone. Any advice as to how to deal with this teenager?
Oh,
and all of them.
I was going to say, and every teenager out there. I mean, she's not in any way special or unique on this one.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make it any easier. My explaining that might not excuse what you're dealing with, but just to normalize it for you, there's nothing wrong with your teenager. This is quite typical adolescent behavior. It's just not pleasant.
Yeah.
And that can make home life quite difficult. Teens do live their lives through their phones. Social media is their social outlet. It is where everything is happening. And when she tells you, when she doesn't have her phone, she's missing out on something, she probably is missing out on something. Now, look, as adults, we know it's not exactly something she can't catch up on very quickly when she has her phone back the next morning.
Mm.
But also what I come back to with all of this, rather than getting into a kind of piece about, teens and their phones, I actually think that what might have happened here from your teenager's perspective is that you changed the rules unilaterally. You came in heavy handed and said, that's it. No more phone upstairs. No more this. And you laid down the law.
They probably didn't realise what was happening.
Exactly.
Until they,
But from a teenager's point of view, I'm wondering, how was that presented to her?
Yeah.
Has she interpreted or experienced that as some kind of punishment when actually nothing had changed? Everything she was doing was fine all last year. And now you've decided it's not fine.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying change your mind because it's a parental decision. I'm saying change how it's done. So you could sit down with her and review. You could start by owning it. Okay, dig a little deep on this one. You could own this and say, so look, I changed the rules and I didn't involve you in that decision. And that seems to have made you really angry. You're really angry with me about that. I get that. I think I got that wrong, but that is what I did. Okay, so you're acknowledging it and you're taking responsibility. Then you're going to come in with, however, it's not okay for you to speak to me the way you have been speaking to me. So something has to change so that you and I can get on better.
Yeah.
So you're holding a parental boundary while acknowledging, I delivered this message with a sledgehammer and you're reacting to that. So then you want to agree some boundaries now. What isn't working for me is you spending all this time on your phone on your own upstairs. This causes me to worry. My expectation is that we all spend time downstairs. So let's agree some ground rules about phone usage in the house. And that doesn't mean you acquiesce and give in to her, but you make her feel that she's actively involved in the boundaries that are being agreed.
Yeah.
Because at her age, really developmentally, she has in her, you know, and in every sense, she believes she has left that age of command where she must do as she's told.
Yeah.
And she has entered an age of consent where boundaries must be negotiated and agreed. So you've almost got to grow your parenting up in line with her so that you can agree amicably on this. So again, I'm not saying give in. I'm just saying maybe give a little so that you can bring her on board with you.
Yeah. The thing, though, about the phone is that it's literally addictive. And so
it's so consuming.
And because it's 24 hours a day, and because that 15-year-old and pretty much every 15-year-old in the world feels their entire life pivots around it,
yeah,
and their life somehow grinds to a stop if you take it out of their hands, I don't know if you can even make any sort of sense with them about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I think you've got to have her. That's why it has to involve her, so that she's realising I can't have it as much as I want. That's off the table.
Yeah.
But let me negotiate something. So, for example, coming to that she can't stay upstairs in her bedroom for more than an hour at a time without coming back downstairs. You could agree that as a boundary. You could agree that nobody in the house, including the adults, will have their phone for an hour before bed. That's just sensible,
yeah,
by the way, if we're getting restful sleep. There's tons of research to back that up. You can agree that between the hours of whatever time she goes to bed minus an hour, so 8 or 9 until 8 the next morning, all phones are in the phone basket or the phone box,
yeah,
downstairs. Mm. And if that's a box you have to lock with a key until the next morning, then so be it. Or alternatively, that the she can hold her phone, but the Wi-Fi gets turned off at a certain time.
I'm a secondary teacher and I ask students to become more aware of the time they spend online. They can find out how long they spend on an app over the last 7 days. Some were really shocked. I challenge them to reduce the time by 10% and do something else with that time. Meet a friend, go for a walk, etc. I'd be interested to hear how many of them actually rose to that challenge, because it's difficult to do. But turning off the Wi-Fi
More the parental control.
I know
control
that's,
piece,
but,
isn't
but
it?
Even still,
yeah,
if it comes down to that.
But I think,
that,
you know, what that teacher's suggesting, I would actually stretch that out and tell all of us to do that. All of us who think that we don't use our phones and we give out about teenagers. If we all looked at our app usage, we might be more than a little shamed by what we see.
I'm very worried about my 3-year-old niece. She won't answer to her name or say mammy or daddy yet, but she will sing nursery rhymes constantly. Also, the minute anybody comes near her, she puts her hands over her ears and puts her head down. She recently hurt herself, and instead of crying, she just sang the same song over and over for 4 hours. I feel she might have some form of autism, but her parents don't. Do you have any advice?
I mean, I empathise with the concern here, and there's certain observations there that, sure, you know, you might go, ooh, that should be looked at. However, that being said, I just think we should not be so quick to pathologise small children's behaviour.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And personally, I'm always very slow to do so, because children develop at different paces and it's quite normal, and not everything requires a diagnosis. So I think the main thing here for me is that she's not your child. She's your niece, but she's not your child. And the best thing you can do for your niece right now is actually support her parents, because any parent looking at their 3-year-old displaying distressing behaviors like this is worried. They might not be articulating it to you and saying, yes, we're going to see somebody and we might look at this. But actually, there must be a worry there. So I think you don't want them to feel judged by you, or that you've decided there's something wrong with their child. That's very difficult for any parent to look with.
Yeah.
And autism doesn't have to be looked at as something wrong with your child. It's simply a different way for people with autism. They simply experience the world differently.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of depathologize some of this. I think that it's her parents who are the ones who need to act on this if acting is required. They're with her 24/7. You won't be. They'll see much more to her behavior than you're seeing. You're really getting a snapshot. She's very young. And even if she was to go down the road with her parents of an ASD assessment, really it's 3 years plus that those assessments begin. So it's not like this is late in the game. You know, this is quite early in the game, actually. So I would be saying that her parents might, I'm inferring here, her parents might be saying, we're a little worried, but let's see how she gets on in Montessori and review it then. Let's see how she makes this adjustment. How does she get on with her other peers? How is she measuring up to other kids in terms of development? And take it from there. So I would, if I was you, don't be telling them you think their child has autism, but saying, oh, she does these behaviours. These are kind of quirky and unique behaviours. Does she do it often? Are you okay? Is there something I can do to help you? I would be preferring that you approach them with empathy.
Yeah. Joanna, thanks a million for
Thank
going into us. Well done for holding up the voice there.
Bit
of a cold, as often happens. We're going to take a break after that. Hitler's Valkyries.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.